All right, we're going to change gears here really quick. He's in the studio a little bit earlier because we have an 8:45 with Mosaic Counseling that was on the books, and I got all turned around when that meeting was on Tuesday due to Labor Day. We say hello to Mayor Bob Minetza. How are you?
I'm great, Mary Ellen. How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day. I think I'm going to get some beach time this week.
Well, you know, getting out a little bit earlier this morning, that's not all bad.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. There won't be any kids at the beach because school is in session. Well, now, you have a meeting
and
tonight.
And the water's a little bit colder than you're accustomed to out there.
Well, the sand is cold. The sand is cold, too.
The beach is still beautiful. Not quite as comfortable as it was
in
the summer.
No, I know. I know. You have a meeting tonight at City Hall. A special presentation at 6:30 where Kristen Perkowski, Grand Haven Area Public School Superintendent, will give a presentation on their strategic plan. I did want to mention there is a survey that the community can take as well. Have you taken that yet? Have you looked at that? There's some really big questions on that.
Yeah, no, I haven't personally taken the survey, but I know that they're offering that. They've been working for months now trying to get community feedback on what the community would like to see with the school system. And, you know, it's a large problem. They shrinking enrollment, they have, and that leads to shrinking funding because it's a per pupil type funding from the state. So it's a big problem for them, and they have a lot of facilities, and a lot of those facilities are relatively old. You know, the high school is their newest building, and it opened in 1997, I believe. And I mean, that's back when my kids were in school.
And so it's
getting there. Some of the buildings haven't had the tender loving care that they might have needed over the years, so they're showing their age. So they have some big decisions to make, and now it's come down to a question of, you know, are they going to close and decommission some schools? You know, they repurposed Mary White School. They kept it as a learning facility, but it's no longer an elementary school. So they'll have some decisions to make as to what remains of their system and what gets moved around, or if they need new buildings to replace some of the old worn-out buildings. So they made a presentation to their school board I think about a month ago, and they talked to Grand Haven Township last week. So they're coming to City Council at 6:30 today for a special work session.
Okay.
They're going to make this presentation. Mm-hmm. They're going to explain the alternatives they've come up with. They haven't set anything in stone yet, and they're finding that as they gather feedback on this, that people like pieces of this option and pieces of that option.
I see.
And they might put together a hybrid option which has elements of various ones that they've proposed. And
okay.
So where they end up is not a certainty yet, but they do have a school board retreat coming up where they want to present some options to the school board based on the community feedback and some of the feedback from bodies like City Council, Township Board, such as to what they think, the direction they think they should go.
Okay.
So they'll have to make decisions not immediately, but relatively soon because there's a lot of momentum involved here. There's a lot of things you have to put in place. If you're going to go after a bond to pay for some of these changes, then you have to plan that out ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
You have to explain to the people exactly what you're asking for. You know, it's like when we ask for a public safety millage. We spend months explaining exactly what it is, what we're asking for, how it's going to be used, so that people aren't surprised and that, you know, whether it's the school board, whether it's us, you know, you want to make sure you've clearly communicated to the public how you want to use their money.
Okay.
And so it'll be a good presentation. I recommend people pay attention to it. It'll give council an opportunity to weigh in on how this affects the residents of the city. You know, our constituents. We have neighborhoods here with children, and you know, are they going to have ready access to an elementary school? They're going to be bussed out of town. I mean, what's going to happen with them?
It's funny how people don't really care about that stuff till they have kids.
Well, you know,
I'm serious. You know,
it's true, but it's also a part of the fabric of your community.
It is the fabric.
So
I agree.
When you have neighborhoods with families and with children and all that, those have to be viable neighborhoods, and they have to be able to attract more families. So it's an important piece, and so we'll be asking some of those questions.
Okay, sounds good. And I know that they've been out and about talking about it. If people head to GHEBS.org. I've had her in the studio. You'll find them on an engagement tour with the school board. She does a coffee and connect. And then, of course, they'll be doing a presentation tonight. And then again at the chamber early bird breakfast on Friday. So there's lots of different opportunities to find out. That's a really good way to talk about that, though. What matters in the schools does matter in the community that you live in.
Well, absolutely. And that's our perspective.
Everybody has
a little bit different perspective. And the city is responsible to its constituents and to the long-term viability of the city and its neighborhoods.
Yeah. I know that there's several events asking for approval. A 5-alarm chili cook-off. That'll be October 11th.
That should be fun.
I know. I love that. Bluebird Cancer Retreats. They're going to be having a Community Cares Cancer Walk from 9 to noon on October 4th. I'm assuming you guys will approve that. I'll be walking in that. I hope you approve that. Go ahead.
And all these items that are on the consent agenda, the reason we have a consent agenda.
Yeah, why do you do that?
We group together things which are either routine, such as paying the bills and approving the minutes, or things which are have been discussed before and we've already reached a consensus. Or things which are not controversial, which we're not likely to have questions about.
Got it.
And every time we approve our agenda, I'll ask for approval of the consent agenda, and then I'll ask if there are any adjustments that need to be made. If someone wants to take an item off consent agenda, move it to new business, we'll do that. Then we can discuss it more. And if somebody has a problem with it and they may potentially vote against it or postpone action, we have the ability to do that without affecting the other items here. Typically, consent agenda, everything on it is approved with a single motion and without a lot of discussion.
Okay.
Sometimes there will be a little bit of what's this about, but it's not that, because it's more like to expose to the public what we're voting on.
Got it.
As opposed to questions about whether we're going to vote yes or no. So those things are grouped together like this. So things like these, approving these events, which are good events.
And
they'll be fun and good for the community. They need to be voted on by council. They don't need a big discussion unless somebody just wants to say, hey, thanks for doing this.
Okay, and then you just kind of move right through them.
And then we just move right through them.
Okay.
But we always do have the opportunity to move something off if it needs further discussion. It's just an efficient way to take care of several issues all at once.
It just looks like a big agenda, but you're right. Yeah. There's more on,
There's a number of items here. Not all of them are going to get a ton of discussion.
No.
But you never know either, because, when we're on council, we're all elected to express our opinions and discuss issues to whatever extent we feel necessary. And so that's what council members are supposed to do, so you give them time to do that.
Can we talk a little bit about what's happening on Washington Avenue at 224 Washington Avenue?
Yeah, so we have two items of unfinished business, and this is like our third meeting on this item. We had a public hearing two meetings ago.
Right.
And our last meeting, we had discussion about this, but these are incentives that are being requested by the developer and owner of the old jewelry store. The old jewelry store has been vacant since 2017.
It's a long time, Bob.
It's a long time. It was purchased by the current owner in 2020, and they had actually been working on this purchase for several months prior to that, kind of lining up what they might do with it and getting some prior approvals. So they've been at this for a bit, and then the whole project kind of came to a standstill. And the building has been just gutted and totally empty for past 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And so something needs to be done there, and we've had to occasionally communicate with the current owner about doing maintenance on the building, about the fact that the building doesn't look good. It doesn't reflect well on our main commercial street. This is kind of our heartbeat of the community, your main downtown street. So you don't really want buildings that look like this, and they should be taken care of. They should be improved. They should be developed and turned into something useful. So now we've got a request for certain tax incentives. They want to have, they wanted to be declared a functionally obsolete building so they can get a tax abatement from the city. And that would freeze the current level of value on it for the next 12 years.
Okay.
And so what would happen then is that as the value of the building increases when they improve upon it, the taxation on it would not increase, and so they would save that money, and that would help their cash flow and trying to pay back some of the capital costs that they have. Because they're anticipating putting about $3.6 million into this building, and they're going to borrow a lot of money. They're going to have some equity they put in. They're hoping to get a grant from MEDC. And MEDC, when they look at giving grants to development within a community, they also look at, well, what's the local community doing to help out?
And
this would be an element of what the local community would do.
Okay.
We would forego those taxes for those 12 years. And we would still collect on the current amount, so whatever it's worth today, which is like $371,000, that tax we would continue to collect. But as it goes up into the multi-million dollar value figure, the additional tax is what we would not collect.
So why was this put on hold then? They needed more time to think about it?
Well,
is that what it was?
I think that, and they will be there tonight to talk more about that, because those questions came up at our last meeting.
There
was a lot of questions at our last meeting about why did they let this property sit? Why didn't they take better care of it? Why didn't they act sooner and all that? And their attorney was there last time, and he talked about, you know, the fact that, you know, they bought the building just in time for COVID to come to town.
And, oh, boy.
And then all the inflation and all the things that went with that, and supply chain issues and various things, which, those are part of the reasoning for it.
Yeah.
And you take that for what it's worth. This is what they have to say about it. And and the developer himself used to be local, and he's now in Florida. So he's remote, and I think maybe this is not on his front burner. So maybe it's moving to his front burner now, but we have had to contact him about maintenance issues and such. And there's also some question about the viability of the project. Is this the right thing to do? Well, this is the last bay of the old Cutler House Hotel, which was built in the 1890s. And trying to preserve that is because it's part of the historical landscape down there. It would be good in order to keep that building there so that we can renovate, turn it into something useful and have it fit in.
Yeah.
And be part of our historical fabric there.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, the incentives themselves, they really only produce any cash or value to the developer if he increases the value, because the base value stays there and we tax that.
I see.
So anything that he gets in terms of captured taxes or foregone taxes, they're only valuable if there's something extra there to tax.
All right.
And
wow.
So that's really what these incentives are about, is that they will help with cash flow over the next several years. It's like a 20-year period, 15 years of tax capture, 12 years of abatement, and they all happen simultaneously. But he has to produce extra value on the property in order to make this actually produce anything for him.
Okay. I'm going to stop and do a boating and fishing report while you're here.
Okay.
Put your headphones on if you want to.
Okay.
Go ahead and put them on.
I'll wait.
Okay. Let's do that. This is cool. Let's check in with Brian Moat from Fish GH. I hope he's on the line. Are you there, Brian?
I'm here.
Okay. Say hi to the mayor. He's on the line, too.
Hey, mayor. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
This is awesome.
Are you out there fishing?
We're enjoying your beautiful fishery here.
Hey, have the salmon started to run up the river yet?
They ran up the river a little while ago when that water got real cold.
Okay.
And then, like, the last week and a half, they've been out in a little bit deeper water now again. But it's been a really good year overall. There's been a lot of nice fish, and everybody down at Chinook's ran just a ton of charters. So it's been really good.
That's great. That's great news.
Good to hear. Good to hear. What did you catch today?
So far, I was, as a matter of fact, I was just talking to Josh Haverkamp on the Hitman, see how he was doing too. And it's been basically, like I said this morning, so like 80 to 100 foot of water. All the deeper coppers, anywhere from a 225 down to a 350 copper with glow spoons, and then the big white paddle close to the bottom. So far, 7 for 9.
Mm.
So it's been a decent morning. Some mature king salmon have been around, and then some smaller kings. So, and the lake's just beautiful. Like we talked about, it's right around 1 foot or less, actually. And it's supposed to be like that all the way through the end of the day Friday. That's as far as we can see out into the forecast. So,
nice.
This week should just be excellent. It's supposed to have warm temperatures. Everybody should be able to get those boats out for, you know, maybe one last hurrah and have a good week on the water and before we start wrapping up the season.
I know. Gosh. Thanks for checking in on the J. Morgan Limited Diamond Hotline. And if anybody wants to book a trip, then go to fishgh.com, and I will continue my interview with the mayor. That was kind of cool to have him in here while we do a boating and fishing report. I think he really enjoyed that.
Great.
And we know how important the fishing
is. Awesome, and Grand Haven is, they go together hand in hand.
Well, we've talked about this, how important the fishing industry is to this town. It's huge. It really, really is.
All the tourists we bring in, Mayor, we have people from Texas and Oklahoma and Missouri, and I mean, just everywhere all summer coming in. And, you know, obviously they stay at the hotels, and we send them, you know, the catch and cook program, like at Paisley Grill and Kirby.
Oh, nice.
So they can bring their fresh catch in. And have it cooked. So, like I said, it's hand in hand. We draw a ton of people, and then a lot of people come to Grand Haven and then end up fishing with us, too. So it's really good.
It's a great resource. It all works together, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thank you. You'll check in with Jesse Bruce at 420. This is 92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite, and you're listening to Good Morning Grand Haven. I have the mayor in the studio. That was kind of cool to do a little break there, keep you in. You see how we do all that?
I'm not a fisherman, so I don't necessarily know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I know that they're out there all the time, and it's pretty busy.
Yeah, it's busy.
And so, and I sometimes walk by when they're cleaning fish and see what they've caught. And,
there's a lot going on, I'll tell you. And I love that they're all friends with each other. They all take, This year we lost Captain Willis, and yeah, you know, he was just such a great guy, and they all kind of stick together, all the charter captains, and they help each other out, and I think it's a beautiful thing. Speaking of Chinook Pier, we have news, don't we? Am I right?
So, okay. One of our items of new business. In fact, we have two items of new business on our agenda, and one of them is the land lease agreement for Chinook Pier. So now, a year ago, we had selected Copper Rock as the developer for Chinook Pier.
Right.
Because,
okay.
you know, we tore down Chinook Pier, the old Chinook Pier we tore down in my first term as mayor. I mean, it's been 5 years now.
Wow.
And it's because we had the high water, we got the mold in the buildings, we couldn't save the buildings. They got kind of damaged and really kind of rotten.
Oh, yeah.
And so they had to go. And so we tore those down. And then we went through a big planning process. What would people like? There was all kinds of ideas about what to put there, and kind of took some of those ideas, put them out for bid. We got three bids initially, then one of them dropped out, and then we had two bids, and we selected Copper Rock as the developer to finish that project, or to take on that project. You know, taking their concept, there will be some minor tweaks in it, there will be some differences, but take that concept that they proposed based on our ideas, or what we asked for, because we asked for a lot of these deals. And come forward, then we will continue to own that land. We're not selling the land, but they're going to put the buildings on it, make the improvements, and they'll own the improvements. They'll own the buildings and such.
Okay.
And then that'll have to be managed by some outside party. The city is not going to manage these businesses or this, you know, the things that are there. That's a private party thing. The city really doesn't have the capacity to do that. But we'll own the land, but they'll own the improvements, and then there'll be a lot of activities there which can be managed for profit. And
okay.
That should work out really well. And what we have before us tonight is the land lease agreement.
Right.
And this is like the first step of some other agreements that have to come forward. But this was kind of an important step, and I had expected to see this months ago. But for various reasons, it's been delayed. It's been batted back and forth between attorneys and different parties. But here it is now. So we have the land lease agreement. And that would be setting this all in motion. So once this is signed, we'll actually start seeing things happen at a better pace. And the next thing to come along would be an actual development agreement that will spell out, you know, the management responsibilities and such. But this spells out the leasing of the land to them, the rent that they'll pay for it over the years. They'll start out with just about nothing because there's nothing there. And then as things get built on, you know, that will go up, so it'll be progressive. In the sense of, you know, as the years go by, they'll pay more. And then it also cites the plan that was agreed to as, in general terms, the conceptual plan. And then there'll still be some due diligence to do as far as, you know, what if there's any pollution to clean up, any sins that are needed, building permits, the actual architectural plans, which we have conceptual plans, but not hard and fast architectural plans. So there's still some more work to be done,
right?
But at least this gets things in motion now.
Well, yeah.
And so it's been a while coming, but I'm very encouraged because this has been a priority of mine to get Chinook Pier area reactivated with some new structures and new things to do there without disturbing the general sense of what's there. You know, we didn't want an overwhelming development with gigantic buildings and all that.
No.
We wanted something that would fit well, that would kind of replace what we had.
Yeah.
And, you know, the farmer's market has rolled into this too, because the farmer's market is part of the footprint of what we're developing. And one of the things that we asked for and that they proposed was a multi-season, multi-purpose building that could house farmer's market activities, but which it could also be closed up, so it could be usable earlier in the spring and later in the fall and possibly even in the winter. If there's a use for it, there's opportunity to close this building up and heat it and use it for other things.
Right.
So it's going to be a good active development. It's going to bring a lot more foot traffic to the area. I mean, if you look down there now, there's people. Some people play the game. Some people walk through. But it's really pretty lightly used right now.
Yeah.
And even the charter boat captains have commented on how much quieter it is down there.
Yeah.
They're just not getting the attention from the public, you know, as it was when you had shops. So I think it'll be a win-win for all of us as long as we use our heads and we make sure that this is an appropriate development. And I think the community will be proud when it's done. So this is a great step. I'm glad to see we finally gotten to this point.
I know, my gosh.
And I'm hoping the rest of it picks up the pace a little bit so that by next year we're breaking ground and, you know, we thought we'd be breaking ground right about now.
I know.
So by next spring, we're hoping to be breaking ground and getting this project underway.
I am out of time here.
Okay.
I am out of time. It's been busy, but it was nice having you here for the boating and fishing report. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That was different.